I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have something you want to relate to us this evening.
Yes.
Probably multiple things. Let us get on our toes, our spiritual toes tonight, and get our ears open. Holy Spirit, you're free to teach and to guide and push and pull whatever needs to be done so that we move more deep into the Word of the living God. Let that be established as the sign over this place, deep in God's Word. And let us never pull back for popularity or because we might insult somebody. Let's teach us and allow us to study and to press in.
Yeah.
We hunger and thirst after you.
Yes.
Fill in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, because of some questions and things last week, have we set up, Patrick? Are we okay to go ahead and start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I want to go ahead and start what could be a very lengthy series, but I hope it's not lengthy, but sometimes y'all ask too many questions. No, not really. Sunday's not a question and answer time. Wednesday is. If we've got things we need to ask or say, we can do that. But I'm just going to pick a direction, and a big direction. And as you can see, this is so far the notes that I have. I won't try to cover them tonight, but I'm sure there's at least a couple hundred pages there. Let me explain to you what I do. And that's so that, now listen to what I'm going to say carefully, so that you will not argue with me unless you come armed. I warn you, I'm going to do my study, and if you disagree with me, don't particularly talk about it tonight. Come back next week heavily armed. Is that fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I felt like from the session we had last Wednesday night that I'm not going to say there's some people here that didn't know the Holy Spirit, but there's some here that don't quite understand. And I may be one of them. I'm not trying to be high and mighty here. So what I've done is I've gone back and tried to erase everything that I know about the Holy Spirit. I want to just erase it. And I want to go into the Word, Old Testament and New Testament, and I want to see what I come up with. And you're welcome to help me in the study. But if you don't spend the time and the energy that I do, well, then the best thing you can do is learn. Just listen and learn. All right. Now, the hardest thing to do with a subject is to get in neutral. Because all of us think we have a handle on things. And one thing that I found out a long time ago is our handle is really small most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done this study before. It's like I don't even remember. So we're going to do it again. Okay? Now, I'm going to start off by saying something to you, and I'm going to do this as a preface so that you'll already know you don't know as much as you think you do. All right? Because, well, I get surprised. In studies, I get surprised, so I expect you to be surprised once in a while also. When I opened the concordance and I looked for the word Holy Spirit, it appeared seven times in the entire Bible. Seven times in the entire Bible. Three times in the Old Testament and four times in the New. Does that surprise you?
Quite a bit.
Now, you understand in the concordance, what you're going to run into is the exact phrase you ask for.
Right.
That's the Strong's concordance. Then when you go into the Englishman's concordance, then you're going to run in, you have to look at the exact definition, you're going to get the Strong's number, and then it's going to come back with you how many times it was used as that number, that reference number in the dictionary. That's a lot more. But if we're looking for the word Holy Spirit, the two together, seven times in the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, it's defined as a sacred... Here's another thing. The Holy Spirit's not an it, and I stand corrected. He's a he. Now, the word it refers to the term, but he's listed as the Holy Spirit. The definition is a sacred place or thing. A sacred place or thing comes from a primitive root to mean make clean. Now, let me read those three scriptures to you so you'll know what we're talking about. This is Old Testament. Psalms 51:11 says, "Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. That means to worry or anger or pain his Holy Spirit. Therefore he was turned to be their enemy or adversary, and he fought or feed on and consume against them. So what we can, what we understand right now is that if we anger or try or test or worry the Holy Spirit, he'll turn against us and become our advocate. I mean our adversary instead of our advocate. Does that surprise you about the Holy Spirit? See, one of the things that we forget is that God can get angry. And when God gets angry, everybody gets angry. Okay? Everybody does. The Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of God. He is not supposed to come with his own agenda. He's not supposed to express his own mind, emotions, or will. He's supposed to be here to express the will of the Father. So if God gets angry, he's going to express, okay, he's going to express anger. Now, I understand here, we're talking about the enemy, but I don't want to be the enemy of God or the Holy Spirit either one. All right, Isaiah 63:11, the second part of that. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that puts his Holy Spirit within him? Now let me read to you the four references in the New Testament. The word is actually, if you want to know the truth, the word that we're really talking about is the word holy, even though Holy Spirit is together. There's only one definition here, and it's a sacred, pure, morally blameless thing. That's the definition of holy, which is hagios, okay? Sacred, pure, morally blameless. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, it says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts or presents unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
Amen.
The word ask is a too light a word. It literally means to crave or desire.
Yeah.
Asking won't get him. You got to crave or desire.
Amen.
Okay, Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed means marked, and the word Holy Spirit of promise is an announcement or a divine assurance. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not, or distress not, the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed, or marked, unto the day of redemption.
Amen.
You know what the day of redemption is, don't you?
That's right.
What is it? Answer carefully. What is the day of redemption? What is any redemption? Trade in one thing for another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. We won't dwell there, but just keep that in mind. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. The word despiseth means to set aside, disesteem, or neutralize. I went to a church that said that speaking of tongues were of the devil. That's where I was raised. As I got older, I figured out that I might ought to be a little more cautious there. We hear a lot of things I've been around enough people, especially flighty ones, that like to blame the Holy Spirit for all kinds of actions, their actions mostly. And I believe they get very close to distressing the Holy Spirit.
Is that the same as blasphemy?
No. But you're headed there.
Yeah.
You're headed there. I think the key to this scripture is if you despise anything, if you hate a person, the scripture says you don't hate the man, you hate God.
Right.
And the Spirit of God does not hate God. So basically it's a roundabout way of saying then if you have hate in your heart, it didn't come from the Holy Spirit. Okay. Now let me give you a little more information. If you take that 6944, which is what my original definition of the Old Testament of Holy Spirit was, and you go to the Strong's, you'll find out it's used 464 times in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to read those to you.
No?
Go ahead.
Just the Spirit or the Holy Spirit?
If you want to know what I think and what I found out, they're both talking about the word holy. In both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they didn't include the word Spirit. They were defining the word holy. Spirit is breath. It's wind. It's not a place of a sanctified place or a pure place or a sacred thing. And once again, 6944, it doesn't say anything about the wind that's the definition of spirit, the breath. So basically the word holy is used 464 times in the Old Testament, and it's used 232 times in the New Testament. And I can tell you just from a quick rundown, it covers anything, prophets, saints, temples, ground. It's still talking about holy. Alrighty? And I'll give you an example. I won't read them all to you, but the first scripture that's listed under Hagios, which is a sacred, pure, morally blameless person or thing, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, one of the things that we want to find out, I don't want to just sit here and give you definitions of the word holy or spirit. We're going to end up talking about tongues before this thing's over with. We're going to end up talking about several different ways that the Holy Spirit is manifested. And what we're interested in is how the Holy Spirit's manifested.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
I want you to understand how the Holy Spirit's manifested. Not what you think you know and not what you've been taught, but you want to know how the Bible describes a manifestation of God in the form of His Spirit in this earth.
Amen.
Okay? Now, the first thing we talk about in the New Testament, the Old Testament we're familiar with. Do you understand that? The Old Testament, we're really familiar with what holy means in the Old Testament. It just covers holy ground. It covers holy. And remember that the Holy Spirit moved on people, situations, and places, things, as God ordered then. He met a need, and then it's like He went back home. I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but... And in the New Testament, Jesus said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. Okay? Now, I guess the first thing I should have covered, and I'm going to stop right now and say this. Does everybody believe in the Trinity?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yes.
He doesn't? What do you believe in? God only? You don't believe in the Holy Spirit?
Not necessarily the Holy Spirit, but I don't believe it was ever taught of Jesus.
Well, we assumed you, but you'll just have to tolerate us. We believe that. But you're going to find out that I stick close to the Bible. Most of my foundational work is in... let me explain the Trinity. Maybe you'll understand more about what I believe if I explain the Trinity to you the way I understand it. In all the workings in the Bible, Old Testament or New, God had an agenda. And He had means to an end. Do you understand? God was smart enough to have means to an end. Now, this is the way I believe it. He created Adam, which was a means to an end. And we would say that was relationship, friendship. He needed somebody to tend the garden. That's obvious in the Bible. Which the garden was the earth. Okay? God had a need and fulfilled it with a man. That's hard to say for us that God had a need. Anybody argue with that word? It wasn't life-threatening to Him. It was just like, it's kind of like I say I have a need for chocolate. Or I have a need to hire somebody to take care of this thing. That man that He created made a wrong choice. He made a choice of selfishness over following God. The problem is, and that's very descriptive in the book of Genesis, is that it upset the world. God had the thing planned out according to His. Man upset the thing. So much so that his relationship with man was nearly destroyed. And that was not the will of God, to destroy man or have them destroy themselves. It was not the will of God. Jesus was a means to an end. Now, you have to believe in the Trinity to believe that. But let me tell you what I don't believe. I don't believe he was God on earth. If you believe that, then what you're telling yourself is you will never be able to do the work of God. Because Jesus did things that you will never do, according to history. And if I'm going to live up to the standard that I read in the Bible, then I have to believe that the scripture that says that Jesus was a man like you and I and felt every feeling, then he was not God on this earth.
That's right, man.
He came to do the work of God on this earth, which was to reestablish a relationship with the Father.
Amen.
Now, understand this. If God cannot look upon sin, and you believe that you're birthed into a sin nature, then this is the view you get of God all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
If you've got sin in you, God's not going to look on you. Jesus came to remove that bad relationship. That's not a good term. That barrier in your relationship.
Amen.
It's a better way to say it.
Amen.
When he was through, when he finished his work, he had provided a way for us to go into the Holy of Holies. But, now that this is the Gentile, he provided us a way into the Holy of Holies. He finished the work of God and went back to be at the right hand of the Father. The Christian church unfortunately teaches that Jesus lives on us, in us, which is false teaching. He can't be in us and be seated at the right hand of the Father. He's got a job to do at the right hand of the Father, which is to be an advocate. And he can't do that from inside of me. He can do it from me inside of him in the Spirit. But he took care of his work and he went back. He said, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. So he left and traded places with the Holy Spirit. It's now the Holy Spirit's job to teach and push and shove and pull, to pull you into salvation, to push you into better and better things, to give you wisdom, to give you understanding. And I can show you all this in Scripture. I've got it here. But if you go back to the Old Testament and see what the Spirit of God did, or the Holy Spirit, which is mentioned many times, you'll find out that's what he did. He came to save people. Not with the salvation we're talking about now, but he saved his people. He directed them. He performed works that got them out of deep trouble. They referred to it as God, and it was always God. The Trinity is always God. Okay? But here's a place we need to start. The Trinity's three, and yet it's one. The easiest way to explain that is the Bible commands that the two become one. Oh, yeah, we jump on that back. The hardest thing in the world to understand the two can become one, and we just jump on that like chicken on a June bug. And yet it's very difficult to understand. And yet the reason is because I can see two people. And a lot of times they're doing different works, but they're one, which is exactly the definition of the Trinity. It's nearly too simple. Hard, but simple. A mystery, but we can receive it. Right? We've got to believe in all of the Scriptures. The Bible severely warns us not to remove any of them, not to try to change them to our own desire. And yet, most churches, that's exactly what we do. We reject and we claim and we proclaim, and half the time we don't know what we're doing. You know, I hate to say this, but Christians, you need to know this. If we were in the workplace as a skilled worker, most of us would get fired because we don't study to show ourselves approved. We can't stand and proclaim what we truly believe. We can say, yeah, well, this is what I think, or this is what I believe, or this is how I see it. Man, not that. If you believe it, if it's in your heart, you'll fight for it. And you'll fight the good fight of faith, the Bible calls it, a good fight. Okay, I want to cover a number of scriptures here. I don't want to read you everything I've got here. But what we're looking for is not proof of the Holy Spirit, but how he manifests himself.
Man.
Or we can say how God works.
Uh-huh.
Okay? All right. What I want you, let me get this piece of paper out of here, and I want you to, if you find it, if you want to, turn with me. First one is Jude verse 20. Actually, let's don't do that. Let's take that one last. Turn to Matthew, since that way we'll kind of go in some kind of order. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Here's one thing that I will, to our friend, our Jewish friend back here, here's one thing I will tell you. Whether Jesus is the Messiah at this particular moment, to people that don't have anything to repent for, can I talk to you for a second? If you don't have anything to repent for, then let me say this to you. I don't care if Jesus was the Messiah or not. He was a good man, and I want to live like he did.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. I'm taken care of right here. I know my God, and I know who I am. And so right now, I'm not trying to convince you. This is not a class on Jesus' messiahship. Let's accept the fact that Jesus was a son of God, because I've called you all son of gods. Accept that. And if we really read history in the New Testament, we find out that he obeyed God more than nearly anybody I know. So that's my goal, to serve God more than anybody else that I can find.
Amen.
Okay? And if I think all of this will take care of itself if we can just stay online. All right. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water into repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. The definition of fire is fire or lightning. Now, how is the Spirit of God manifested in this case? Y'all afraid to say anything?
Baptism.
Two things. Holy Ghost and fire. How many of you have seen the Holy Ghost? Very few of us have ever had that kind of manifestation. So the one that we'll know for sure right now that we can latch on to is fire. One of the manifestations I want to see of the Spirit of God in the form of the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to burn up. I want your flesh to burn up, but I don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to see it.
Amen.
Don't catch on fire for me. That doesn't mean anything. By the way, the other thing that I want to reject in every way, shape, form, and fashion is that there is no one specific way to prove that you're filled with the Holy Spirit or you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. There is no one specific way.
Right.
And I'll prove that to you during this study. I just did. One of them is fire. I haven't seen one of you on fire. I haven't seen one of you guys on fire. You haven't seen me on fire. So I'm going to assume this means the kind that burns up flesh spiritually. It's like a lightning jolt. It changes. How many have you ever been hit with a large sum of electricity? Yeah, me too. I got hit with 480 one time, and I promise you this. It changes your life. That's the kind of thing that I want to happen to you and I being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That thing that takes the wind out of you, you have to sit down for a day or two just to get over it, and then you get to move on. Take my word for it. That's what 480 does. Just take my word for it. Don't get it. Luke chapter 3. Go ahead.
What is the difference between the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit?
Nothing. They're exactly, Spirit and Ghost are exactly the same defined word. Somebody asked me that this week, and so I looked it up, and I can promise you this, that in the New Testament, it's the words pneuma. Where it's ghost or spirit, it's exactly the same word. Harry, do you have something to say?
No, I was agreeing with.
Well, being born again is one of those experiences, and being filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit fall on you, have the Holy Spirit live in you, dwell in you, whatever term you want to use, and I will go through most of them, it's an experience we need because it gives us life and that more abundance. Remember this, the thing that caught me on fire about this originally was that one scripture says, if that same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it will give life to your mortal body, and that's what all of us are seeking for, is life.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, Luke chapter 3, verse 22. Let me flip over a little bit here. Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove. The reason I'm reading King James to you is because it's the closest thing to the original that I can read and understand. Okay? Luke chapter 3, verse 22. And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Three things happened here. This is a manifestation of what happened to Jesus. Now, if your hero is Jesus, then you might want this to happen to you. Right? Okay. Another form, another explanation. A bodily shape like a dove. I'm not familiar with that. Are you? I sometimes wonder if we don't limit God by what we believe He's done rather than allow Him to do what He needs to do. Our teacher, seriously, what we learn puts us in a bottle.
Right.
And sometimes it puts God in a bottle. You remember Jesus had to move out of a city one time because people were in a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Second thing, and that's two. A voice came from heaven and said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. That's a pretty good manifestation. I like that one. I'm not too fond of doves on my shoulder, but I like that one. I like that one.
Amen.
So one of the manifestations of the Spirit of God descending upon us is that we're going to know that we're His Son and we're pleasing Him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Right?
That's right.
To me, the most important one of tonight, this one is more important than anything else that could happen, is that I literally hear His spiritual voice, or I feel it, or you just know that He said, You're my Son and You please me. This is the one we need to seek for. This is the one we need to know. How often should we seek for that? How about every day?
Amen.
How about one time's not enough?
That's right.
I kind of like the sound of that voice. So every day, multiple times, better yet. All right, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Here is another manifestation of the Spirit of God, or the Holy Spirit of the Holy Ghost, coming upon you, or dwelling with you, or comforting you. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. So we have a teacher.
Yes.
That's not an exact statement when we're dealing with this scripture. We have a prompter.
Mm-hmm.
In South Texas, I used to do commercials on television. And they had a teleprompter. That just means it belongs to the television industry. But you sit there and just read off. You do a commercial, you do whatever, you just read off what's on the teleprompter. That's the way the Holy Spirit is to manifest to us, is that I don't need to know. No, let me say this. I don't need to be the world's best speaker. I don't need to be the most intelligent or the most schooled. I need to be the closest to God. If I want to speak what is correct, the closer I get to God, the more I'm going to speak correctly.
The more that I'm
in tune with God via the Holy Spirit, the more I'm going to speak correctly. I didn't say the more I'm going to speak.
Exactly.
I said the more I'm going to speak correctly.
Amen.
John chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. Okay, I put in there 32. When you turn there, hand it to me, because I only wrote down 33.
John 1, 32?
Yeah. Or you can look it up in my Bible there. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and He remained upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining, the same is he who baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. Okay, this is kind of complicated, but let's kind of put it in English we can understand. When you look at mine or I look at your life, if we can see a change going towards God, that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
That's called descending and remaining. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go on with the word remaining. Remaining means that I'm not hot and cold. I'm not up and down.
That's right.
I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Because the one that I serve and the one that is actually serving me, the Holy Spirit, is causing me, prompting me, pushing me to be the same. Now, does that mean my facial expression is always the same? No, 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 no. No. Does that mean that I can just jump out of bed praising God? Probably not. I need to get a little clarity in my brain before that happens. That doesn't mean I jump up cursing and swinging. No, no, no. I need a little bit of closer walk than that. It doesn't mean when somebody happens to prod me from behind that I take a swing first and then say, oh, was Holy Spirit, was that okay? That means I'm level. Man, I still got the little mark here, but it means when you hit your thumb that you get quiet, not loud. That's what God would ask you to do, is not say anything that you regret later. And if you got to yell, yell praise God, and that's it. Then shut up and hang on. And by the way, I did that and the thumb was healed. So I'm a firm believer in that. Okay, John chapter 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, now if you look at that word, you're going to find this definition. Advocate or intercessor. Which is very interesting to me, because then later on Jesus says, if I don't go, the Comforter can't come. The Comforter comes to be an advocate, and the advocate went to be an advocate. So we have a Comforter and an advocate in both places.
The King James translates it to helper, helper.
Well, they weakened it, because the exact term is advocate or intercessor. So if you want to know an intercessor word, Richard,
yep.
If you want to know an intercessor word, mm-hmm. Comforter is one of them.
Yeah.
All right. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, there's the Trinity, plain and simple. The Father will send in my name, Jesus said, and his name is the Holy Ghost. He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. Okay. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, is he doesn't come in his own name. Okay? One of the things I've told you over and over is Jesus never taught Jesus, he taught the Father.
That's right.
Now the Holy Spirit's come in Jesus' name, but he doesn't teach the name of Jesus. He still teaches the word, the Father. Okay. He'll teach you. It says he'll teach you all things, but it clarifies and brings you back to the word when it says, whatsoever I said unto you. That's what he's teaching you. And he'll bring to your remembrance. So the job is not for us to memorize every verse of Scripture in the Bible. Our job is to have the ears open to where we're instant in season and out of season. We know we've studied the word enough till we are familiar with the word, the recipe. But when we need it, the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to our remembrance.
Mm-hmm.
And what I long for even more than that is that I don't quote the King James, that I learn to speak it as Jesus spoke it in parables or truths, so that people are brought to the Father.
That's right.
Jesus' goal is to bring people to the Father. The Holy Spirit's goal is to bring people to the Father. I hope you understand that. I'm very much more and more convinced. That's all this is about. All right. That was John. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Another manifestation. Let me just back up. Acts 1, 8. No, let's go back to John chapter 20. I got more marked than I've written down. I could get bogged down here, but I want to show you the different kind of manifestations. John chapter 20, verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Breathed on them. So we already tear down the notion that you have to have laid hands laid on you.
Yep.
Now I'm going to ask you, when I'm sitting up here, if you could measure wind, am I breathing on you right now?
Yeah.
Now you understand a little bit of the foolishness of preaching. If a preacher's pushing word, it's skating across like a wind, and it's falling on people, especially if it's ordained by the Holy Spirit, because now he's over there catching it. He's working in me to throw it. He's working in somebody else to catch it, all of it for the purposes of the Father.
Right.
All right, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that, or after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And here's what it's for. And ye shall be witnesses, both in Jerusalem, the reason I put out unto me, because those are 999s, they don't exist. Ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem and all of Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth.
Right.
So one of the manifestations of being filled with the Holy Spirit is your life is a witness. And it's not a witness about how much you can screw up. It's a witness about how you can walk and how you can talk and how you can be bold and how you know you're the son or daughter of God.
Yep.
And your mistakes don't mess you up, and you show everybody else that they don't mess you up. You stump your toe and keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to keep going unless somebody says something. All right, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak. When I'm not telling you a definition, then the definition is revealed right there already, okay? I don't have to tell you what speak means, because you look it up, it means speak. With other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Other means different. Tongues means languages. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Now I want you to listen to this. As the Spirit gave them utterance. Utterance means to enunciate plainly. It means to declare. To enunciate plainly or declare. If any of these you question, go to your Strong's. Look it up. Go to your Englishman's. Look it up. All right. One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is boldness. That's what we saw here, right? We're not timid or ashamed anymore.
Right.
Two is we begin to plainly proclaim. Now, other languages means just exactly that. I told the Tuesday night Bible study last night. Let me explain something to you. Some of you are familiar with this. I did a message here one day, and then we all went out to eat. And I was blown away about all the things y'all were giving up, and I didn't ask you to give up nothing. Some Pepsi, some coffee, some... And I'm going, what message did you hear? I never said anything about these things. So in reality, I was speaking a language that you heard differently than I spoke.
Right, amen.
Don't look at me funny.
Amen.
I know what I taught. I'll go back and get the tape, and we'll hold it up and see if I ask you to give up anything, especially Pepsi. Or do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can sit here and I can teach you a message on healing, and somebody can get saved. If that's not a different language coming out and in hearing, I don't know what is.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. I really am.
Amen.
I'm thankful that people can hear what they need to hear rather than I'm saying what they need to hear.
Amen.
Okay? Amen. So I would tell you that boldness and speaking in and to a situation with faith rather than understanding. Does that make sense? That you speak with faith rather than understanding. What's your faith? I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and He's in charge of the rest.
Amen.
And then we can trust that by the Holy Spirit, we've done our best, and He adds perfection to it. I didn't say we did perfect. I said we did our best, and via the Holy Spirit, perfection is added to it.
Praise the Lord.
One of the manifestations, that God just takes care of our gaps. All right, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. I'm looking forward to when people walk in this place and they can feel it move.
Amen.
You may not, and I may not, but they do.
Amen.
The place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness.
Hallelujah.
I said a while ago, boldness. Now I'm going to tell you, boldness with the Word of God. Holy Spirit's going to make you bold with the Word of God. Why? Because you learn to have faith not in you, but that's in you.
Right.
You can step up in any situation, and you can literally tell the situation, you can't out-talk me. not by your own witness, not by your own power, not by your own wisdom, but by the Spirit of God, nobody that needs your help can out-talk you. The Scripture says that cannot gainsay nor resist. Acts chapter 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has that obey him. So now we know that God gives the Holy Ghost to those that obey him. Let me tell you point blank, boldly. I'm not going to lie to you. If I feel the Holy Spirit, I'm bold. I've been bold for a long time. So people tell me, so praise God. You cannot sin and manifest the Holy Spirit.
Right. No way.
Adultery runs the Holy Spirit off.
That's right.
I don't care what people say. I don't care if they're act forgiven. I'm not even questioning whether they're forgiven or not. I'm telling you, they don't have any access to the Holy Spirit. Can't lie and have access to the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
It's not possible. Christians, you got to start judging. You aren't the judge, but you've given the you've been given the ability to determine fruit. Here's a fruit. Here's an evidence. Here's a law of God. You break one of his Ten Commandments, you do not have the Holy Spirit. Don't try to access him. Don't speak boldly. Don't try to remember the word. You better get back on your knees and promise God you ain't going to do that again. You better get back to the beginning, because you're out in the middle now.
They don't call him Holy Spirit for nothing.
That's right. No more than God the Father can be where sin is at, the Holy Spirit cannot either.
That's right.
So if you run into a man or a woman that's skilled in prophesying or skilled in tongues with interpretation or skilled in a prayer language, and you know there's sin in their life, they're only skilled. They're not anointed.
Amen.
That should explain a lot of people that you've met and known. And let me say it another way. They may be skilled, but they're not speaking for God. And that's not hard to understand, is it?
Never.
It's really not hard to understand once you look in the Word. Okay. In Acts chapter 3, one of the things that's manifested is wisdom. Let me just read it to you right quick. Acts 6:3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business.
Mm.
See, if we're really looking for a business partner, we'll look for the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Brings wisdom. The Holy Spirit brings wisdom.
Amen.
Amen.
We need it.
I told you that time I had a window salesman up there at Hiawan. He was trying to sell me a boatload of windows. And I bought it from him after a lot of research. And when the whole thing was over, he said, now that we've got out of this business, we've taken care of it, I want to ask you something. He said, you seem to be a very wise man. Could you tell me the meaning of life?
How long did it take?
Well, I thought about it. You know what? I just.
How long did you talk to him?
I talked to him for quite a while, but I needed an answer. Because the remaining part of that was, what is the most important thing in life?
Yeah.
And I said, a good night's sleep. Now, you think about what I'm saying right now. A good night's sleep. And I didn't stop there. I said, that means the last thing that I see in the eyes of God when my eyes close is that he's well pleased with me. I don't have to worry about who I cheated. I don't have to worry about who I lied to. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to run into the next day because I laid a bad foundation from this day. I sleep sweet.
Amen.
Now, was that word?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If I'd have quoted King James to him, I'd have had no witness at all.
That's right.
I needed to speak to him in a language of God that he can understand.
That's right. Right. Amen.
Mm-hmm. We need to have the wisdom. You listen, we'll just gather here together and say, we're not wise.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not wise, but the Holy Spirit is.
That's right.
So if I'm filled with him and he's pushing and shoving and causing remembrance and all of this kind of stuff, then it's going to come out like I'm wise.
That's right.
And I'm going, thank you, God, because I'd have been stupid without you. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now I need to ask you something. Do you think Jesus had a different Holy Spirit than us?
No, sir.
You think there's a Holy Spirit 1 and a Holy Spirit 2, or a junior and a senior? Or,
no, sir.
Our middle name. One has W. Holy W Spirit or something.
Nope.
See, that's encouraging to us. If Jesus accomplished these things as a man, then we accomplish these things as a man. Now, Jesus was a man, and he didn't come with power. Man like you and me.
Right.
He received power when he received the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is not his power.
God is.
God is his power. And I knew that they kind of went, ooh, when I said that. And believe it or not, I hadn't studied it. That was from God. That was fresh stuff that was coming. And I, the bill came. We were at dinner, and the bill came. So I pulled out. Dawned on me. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. It gives you an example. You can use, turn it into a language you can understand. So I pulled this out. And I said, how much power is in that card? How much power is in there?
None.
And then I laid it on the ticket, and they take it and came back paid in full. So it accomplished something. How did that happen? The bank, the American Express, to call what you want. But it had a backing. The power to eliminate that bill came through this card.
That's right.
But the card had no power.
Name behind the card.
That's right. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. He didn't come as a power vitamin.
Yep. That's right.
He came as one as a comforter, an advocate, somebody that's fighting for us, with us, right, enlightening us. But the power, if we're going to lay hands on our pray for the sick and they recover, it's going to come from the Father.
That's right. Yeah.
The Holy Spirit may do the prompting. Mm-hmm. Right. But you praise God, you don't praise the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, right. If he was the power, we would praise him. But we're instructed not to do that, right?
Right.
We praise God for what the Holy Spirit reminds us of and gives us that shove and those kind of things.
And that brings up something else, man. Then we do not ask the Holy Spirit to have his way.
Mm-mm. He doesn't want his way.
Huh?
He doesn't want his way.
That's right.
You should never ask the Holy Spirit to come and have his way with us.
You can ask the Holy Spirit to help you.
Yeah.
To open things up for you,
yeah,
if you're having a problem.
Yeah.
When you pray in the Spirit, you're not praying to the Spirit. There's a difference. If there's a, if you've prayed all you can pray and you've hit this wall and you need to pray in a different language on your own, that's fine. Do that, but don't praise the Holy Spirit, because all he did was aid you to enter into the Father boldly. Okay, let's see. What else at 10:30? 10:44. Okay, yeah, 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word.
Right.
So now here's something else we better remember. If we're not mixing word with our conversation, the Holy Spirit can't woo or direct or remind. The Holy Spirit is not here to back up our word.
That's right. That's right.
He's here to open up and reveal and remember God's word.
Amen.
So if you want your witness to be effective, if you want your prayers to be effective for other people, if I want preaching and teaching and that kind of thing to be effective, we're going to have word for the Holy Spirit to work. He's not here to build himself up. He's here to enforce the word of God. To explain the word of God, to reveal, to enlighten.
Amen.
All right, and then the next verse, 10:45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. So now we know that the Holy Spirit is like God. He loves everybody. Jew and Gentile alike. He loves them.
That's right.
And he so loved them that not only did he use the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament, he used it in the New Testament with the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I don't think there's two Holy Spirits.
No.
I don't think there's a Jewish Holy Spirit and a Gentile Holy Spirit.
That's right.
No more than I think there's a Jewish God and a Gentile God. You can't find it in the Old Testament, you can't find it in the New Testament.
Yes.
I think he's a loving God.
Yeah.
But you can find Jesus all the way through the Old Testament.
You can. Even in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when he says, there's the Son of God. The fourth man, like the Son of God.
First Colossians 15 through 20 tells exactly who.
I don't know that scripture. I'll probably recognize it when you read it. I'm not too good on the roadmaps.
Supremacy of Christ.
The what?
The supremacy of Christ.
Oh, that's how your Bible's titled?
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers and authorities, all things were created by him and for him.
Well, and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity was from the beginning to the end.
That's right.
But that's how you see Jesus all the way through. Well, he made all things. God
that's
said,
right.
Let us make man in our image.
That's right.
That's plural.
That's true. Our image and likeness. And he's been he's been trying to bring us back to that position ever since. He's, you know, I want to stop laughing for a second, but when you start thinking about this, Old Testament, New, I don't care. God has spent humongous amounts of energy to bring us back to himself. Absolutely. Just tremendous amounts of energy and protection and benefits and Old Testament to New. It didn't make any difference. Even when they refused to go into the Promised Land and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, God loved them. He's full of grace and full of mercy.
Right.
Cared for them when he didn't owe them squat. Now, they didn't get wealthy, but they were cared for. And we need to remember so that we don't follow in the same steps. That generation died without seeing the Promised Land.
Right.
We don't want to do the same thing.
No way.
All right. Acts 11:15. Here's something that you need to kind of get in your spirit. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. What am I seeing? What you saying here, Stan? The Holy Ghost doesn't go around jumping on people without somebody talking.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? I'll tell you what's amazing. God has given us the ability to speak, evil or good.
That's right.
And if we choose to speak good, the Holy Spirit falls on people.
That's right.
If we choose to speak bad, an evil spirit falls on people. We have in our tongue the life and death.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Choose you this day. Which one do you want, and which one do you want to give?
Life.
Amen.
Life.
Acts, jump down to Acts 19:2. Actually, before you go there, go 16:6, and I want to show you something. Acts chapter 16, verse 6. And when they had gone throughout Persia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I would sure like to go into some charismatic churches and let this scripture loose. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit tells you to shut up. Will not let you speak just because you want to. And with that in mind, you can remember when I talked to you about when I wanted to set some things straight and reach for that door handle, God said, it's not your word, you'll use it when I tell you to.
That's right.
Can I remind you again, fresh tonight, that the word does not belong to you?
Amen.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will tell you when to talk. And if you know how to listen, he'll tell you when not to talk.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
All right. 19:6. 19, huh?
19:2.
All right. I can read you 19:2. See, I have all the scriptures in here. I just have to skip an awful lot because I remember there was 400 and something.
Oh.
And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be an Holy Ghost.
Right.
All right. This tells me several things. One, you have to be a believer before you can receive the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
To be a believer, you have to hear. And to receive the Holy Ghost, you have to hear.
Right.
Now, how about deaf people, Stan? Are they going to go to hell? Oh, come on. The voice we're talking about speaks right in here.
Right.
That's not negating the foolishness of preaching or teaching or witnessing, because that's what we're required to do. Most of the populace was given a voice and ears to hear, and that's the way it's going to work. God will take care of the other part. 19:6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues, once again languages, and prophesied or foretold. This is the real word, prophetically, prophesy is two different words. This is the real one. This is the one where a prophet does. The other one is prophesy means anybody can do it, and they can do it by the Scripture or by the moving of the Holy Spirit, but that doesn't make them a prophet.
Amen. Right.
What did we see here? We saw that in this case, laying on the hands ushered in the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And it caused them to do things they weren't used to doing.
That's right.
The reason I'm saying it that way is let's don't lay down concrete curbs so we can't go a little further. Let's just say it caused them to speak differently and think differently than they ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Romans. Let's run over to Romans. Chapter 8, verse 27.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8, 27. Listen carefully. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We're covering a lot of territory in that one verse.
Yeah.
He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Doesn't say the Holy Spirit searches the hearts. Now, what we're really saying is an extremely intimate with the mind of the Spirit, or the Spirit. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So all of this is based on the will of God. Intercession is based on the will of God. It finds out the mind and of us, or the heart of us, and tells the mind of the Spirit. It's the Trinity in action. Now, how hard do you think it'd be to hide from that? You think you can cover your heart? You think you can fool the Holy Spirit?
No.
Okay. We just find out it's extremely difficult to fool God. I think we knew that, but it helps to hear it again. I'm going to throw this one in. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to throw it. Romans 11, 16. And this is some encouraging word for us that are not pretty people. You know what pretty people is? That's those people that think they're pretty. They've been trained to be pretty, and they've been taught to speak well. They're skilled, but not anointed.
Right.
For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy.
That's right.
And if the root be holy, so are the branches.
Amen.
Yeah. Now we can talk about this Jew-Gentile. We can talk about, I don't need to do that. I'm perfectly comfortable with that. What I want you to remember is I don't care if you're as ugly as a mud fence. If your root's pretty, you're pretty.
That's right.
Know what this says? If your root's holy, so are you.
That's what it says.
And I don't care if in a witnessing session or a prayer session you stumble all over your words and you nearly feel like you're embarrassed. If the root's holy, your words are holy.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the will of God through the Holy Spirit. This is pretty encouraging stuff if you all get a hold of it. Don't know how much time we're going to have, but that was 11:16. I think the next one is 15, chapter 15. Romans 15, yeah. 16. This is Paul speaking, in his words, the Jew of Jews, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost.
Which one are you reading
now? Romans 15, 16. So, let's see several things that the Holy Spirit is going to help us with here. The manifestation of. Number one, we're accepted. We don't spend our lives trying to be accepted. We're accepted. Why? Because we're being sanctified. What's the word sanctified mean?
Set apart.
Set apart. We're being made different by the Holy Spirit or the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
Manifestation is that I'm not wearing and speaking and singing and yelling and whatever. Let me just stop there and say I am comfortable with who God says I am. I'm comfortable with that. Because I know that the work is not yet complete.
That's right.
But that doesn't make me feel bad. Because I happen to know that God's still doing a work.
Amen.
Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:13. You know all the things we're talking about right now? Why in the world would anybody want to just stop with being saved? You understand the extreme promises we're getting right now? Man, I don't want to just be saved. That's why Paul said, let's don't talk about that anymore. Let's move on. 1 Corinthians 2:13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. You know what that's saying? We don't give a flip about the wisdom of man. That's number one. Mm-hmm. You can bring a DD in here, a doctor of divinity, and he's going to sound sweet, as all divinity does. He'll smell sweet. He might even taste sweet. But I don't care. Because he's not teaching me what he's not teaching me divinity. Mm-hmm. He just thinks he's divinity. Okay. The Holy Ghost is going to teach, and we're going to know it's the Holy Ghost teaching. And comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Your version says what?
Spiritual words. Spiritual truths with spiritual words.
Okay. Which is pretty much the direction I was going in. And that is that, let me say it another way. In all of our life, everything's spiritual.
That's right.
One of the things that I'm being very much directed to understand and believe is that there's not one moment in my life that I'm not ministering. Just think about that. There's not one second in your life that you're not a minister. You're either ministering to God, you're being ministered to, or you're ministering to someone. Now we need to determine, is it holy?
Amen.
Is it holy? So, is there spiritual times and non-spiritual times? Is there Sabbath and then the rest of the time?
Nope.
Every day is holy.
That's right.
Every person's holy. That's the way I got to look at it. Every topic is holy. You guys know I'm bold. I'll say it. It don't make a difference. Because I've come to the conclusion that I don't have unholy roots, so unholy stuff is not going to be coming out. Amen. I don't care if we're talking about sex. I don't care if we're talking about killing. I don't care what we're talking about. It's all holy. You guys made it unholy. Society made things unholy.
Right.
I can approach any subject in the world and either take it as holy or turn it to holy.
Right.
I promise you. You listen to what I said. I don't care what the topic is, and I don't care who's there. If I'm full of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, He will turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
Yes and amen.
Yes and amen.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Now, here's something I want to, I don't know, maybe this may be the last thing we can do, but listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own.
Amen.
You know what happens if you defile the temple? Do you know what happens if you defile the temple? What does it say about you defiling the temple? All right. Let me read this to you again, and maybe the answer will come. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?
Right.
The temple's in you. The Holy Ghost is in you.
Amen.
Which ye have of God. And ye are not your own.
That's right.
The evidence here means that if you defile that temple, it's not of God and you're your own. Or you're on your own.
Yeah.
Mm.
Come on, if we defile the temple, the Holy Spirit's not going to stay there.
Mm.
Therefore, you have no connection with God in reality. The Holy Spirit was your only connection.
Right.
If you'll think about that, you'll understand why so many Christians go back to law instead of staying in life. Y'all understand that? I hope. 1 Corinthians 14:33, God's not the author of confusion. So confusion's going to go when the Holy Spirit comes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let me see. Is it possible? You know what? It might be possible for me to make this. If y'all just be patient for a couple more minutes. 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. You're going to like this one too. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all.
Amen.
Communion. Y'all understand. I've explained to you enough. Do you remember what communion is? It is not the bread and the wine. It's feeding on each other. That's the communion he's talking about. Feeding on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now that just excites me that I can actually, he's feeding on me and I'm feeding on him.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
The communion word means, the communion means partnership and intercourse. Now that sounds more like a party than it does a ritual or a pain or a sacrifice. The word communion here means partnership or intercourse. And I'll let you sleep on that one. Okay. Some of this in Ephesians is quite a bit of repetition of what we've already covered. 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Okay. I missed it again. In the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is partnership and intercourse with the Spirit of God. I mean, it's intimate. And the only way a partnership works is trust, so there's total trust.
Mm-hmm.
You're not worried if God's getting to you, or you're surely not trying to get to God. You know, you understand what I mean by that? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 1:5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Assurance. Assurance.
Mm-hmm.
That can be translated as big head, egotistical. Let them translate. I'll tell you what, the one thing you, if you're assured or you're full of assurance, you're going to walk with your shoulders back a little further. You're going to act like you're a little smarter. And you're not going to be timid about it.
Man.
That's the manifestation. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. All right, Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us.
Right.
By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The washing of regeneration is the foundation of my salvation. That means I'm not going back to the same dirt that I left.
Right. Amen.
The second part, renewing of the Holy Ghost. I don't care what the battle felt like or looked like, I'm bouncing back.
That's right. Amen.
That's manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You're coming back.
That's right.
And you're probably coming back stronger than you got knocked down the last time.
That's right. Amen.
Okay. Hebrews 2:4. God also, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs. Oh, I'm just going to go back one more time. If you are being guided and directed and being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going up, not down.
Amen.
If you suffer a little discouragement, it'll last for only a moment, but it won't last long.
That's right.
Holy Spirit's not hanging around a place that's down. He's a party animal. He's going to start making some happy in there somewhere. Faith is going to be built.
Amen.
That's the manifestation. Okay, Hebrews 2:4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Not the Holy Spirit's own will.
God.
That, you know what that means? Take heart. You know what it means? We're all not going to be doing the same thing the same way.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. The mind of God knows that I'm going to be able to do certain things different than you. You're going to do things different than me, and that makes God happy. He is not. Now, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put Him to an open shame. If you want to know if once saved, always saved works, nope. It is impossible for those who are once enlightened. Enlightened means just that. You saw the light. And have tasted, that it means that. You have partaken and tasted the heavenly gift. And you're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. So you've not just tasted salvation, but you've tasted the Holy Spirit. That dwelling and communing with God. And that if you treat it lightly, You just can't come back. Now, you know what that means? Have you ever in your life met anybody that said, I've gone too far, I can never be saved?
Mm-hmm.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
What was the circumstance? See, I didn't ask you if before they were saved, they said to you, you don't know the things I've done, I can't be saved. That isn't what I ask you. Because everybody says that. That's just old and boring. Have you ever had anybody tell you, I'm saved, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and I'm backslidden, and I'm going to hell?
No.
You know why? They don't know it. They don't understand. The Holy Spirit stopped enlightening. They still use the same names, still pray the same way, still go to the same church. Or maybe they'll change church to get out from under the heat. But they don't know they lost it. Don't even get close. That's what the Holy Spirit's. Do you think the Holy Spirit doesn't warn,
mm-hmm.
pull, drag? I know He does. I've seen people suffer, white knuckled, trying to go away from God. I said by the Spirit one day to that person, I said, if God walked in this place right now and told you to do something, you would not do it. And they laughed at me. Thought I was joking. You ever know anybody like that? They're going to do their thing. They don't care what God wants. It's all in the name of Jesus. All in the name of the Holy Spirit. All in the name of forgiveness. Well, they haven't studied the whole Word. We need to feel sorry for them. But more than that, we need to stay away from that area.
Amen.
Okay, 1 Peter 1:15. 1 Peter 1:15. I could stay a little while on that other topic. I really could. But let's move on. That doesn't apply to any of us. 1 Peter 1:15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Amen.
Okay, what are we saying here? One of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is that you serve a holy God, and that Spirit is in you causing you to be holy.
That's right.
And if your conversation is not holy, there's a Spirit in you that's going to start kicking. Because He's going to press you to be holy.
That's right.
So one of the manifestations is, we begin to get rid of unholy things, and we begin to stay where there's more holy things. 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah. Old Testament and New Testament. When the Spirit of God moves on you, speak. I didn't say when you had a thought. I don't give a flip about your thoughts. I didn't even say when you got goosebumps. I mean, when God says something to you that you've never thought of before, speak it.
That's right.
Not that you've rehearsed and you've heard. When I get to church, this is what I'm going to say. I've told you over and over, I look forward to church because I hear more than y'all do. It's new stuff to me most of the time.
Great. Yeah.
So in 121, I mean, 121, we're going to hear prophecy. And we're going to know that it was by the Holy Spirit. And if it's not, if we don't know, then it probably wasn't of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit breaks down barriers. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit does not hate Catholics or Jews or Gentiles or women or children. He's not a resister of the will of God. The will of God can be God can speak through women as well as men.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes He can speak through children better than adults. We need to be familiar with the Holy Spirit, not with gender or race or religion. Those things kill us. All right. One more. 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You know what bears witness? That there's a Trinity. And you can't separate them.
That's right. They're one.
What does that mean? They all come in the same package? No, no, no. They don't think different. They don't act different. They don't make exceptions because they're moved by your feeling. Isn't that amazing? The strangest thing in the world is Christians think they can go out and commit adultery once in a while because they have a feeling.
You know,
are they liars?
About the GPS, that it takes three satellites to get a bearing.
What she's saying is, in a GPS, the GPS does not even work unless it takes three, unless it receives from three satellites.
Mm-hmm.
The only way that you can then you can triangulate, which is the way you get a direction, is that it takes three satellites. Can't two won't do it. Four is good, but three is what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Then I want to go back to the one that I said I skipped, which is Jude. Jude, verse 20. And I'll leave here and probably start there next time. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, please, understand me. Please. For all the effeminate, for all the wackos, for all, the Holy Ghost is not a mist. A gaseous mist that moves in just over you or just over you and me. He is a person.
That's right.
He does not sneak in, gas in. He's not a fart. He's not a sweet-smelling cake flavor. He's real.
Amen.
And he's going to operate as God would operate.
That's right.
That's who the Holy Spirit is. And if you're a dancer, he may cause you to dance. But he ain't going to cause me to dance because I'm not a dancer. Okay? No insult to anybody. It's just, please, whatever he moves on you, keep it to yourself and don't try to make it law for me.
Right. Man, that's right.
Praying in the Holy Ghost means to pray or worship. Pray means to pray or worship. That's why you'll have different prayers that come out in the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Build yourself up by praying in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say build yourself up by speaking in tongues.
That's right.
Build yourself up by praying in the Spirit. We'll get to the other later. Right now, that's more than we can handle. I'm going to cover a lot of things. I haven't covered them all. I mean, I haven't looked them all up yet, but I'm going to cover baptized. I'm going to cover a lot of things. Comforter. Tongues. Those are things that I've got in there already. We're going to get serious. Let me ask you this. Do you appreciate my study?
Yes.
Thank God. Because
yep.
I hate to study. I'd rather take a beating. But when I get started, God blesses.
That's right.
Amen.
And so it's not suffering. Just getting started is the hard part.
Right.
And then when you get to hurting between your shoulders and you just hate the keyboard and you want to go do something else, anything else, that's okay. You got started. You got to come back to it, but you know.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody get anything out of this tonight?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Well, we're looking for God.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a religion, a denomination. I'm not even looking for a belief system. I'm not looking for your evidence or mine. I'm looking for God.
Amen.
And by the way, in our studies, if we find out there's a fourth person in the Trinity, I want that too. Don't think I'm going to find that out.